Listening Library presents A Tiny Piece of Sky by Sean K. Stout. Read for you by Tara Sands. With a note read by the author. It is a long journey through a country that is sometimes pleasant and sometimes dark and terrible. The Witch of the North, from The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, by L. Frank Baum. Some words first. A summer spent without a favorite sister could not be called a summer at all. This was a firm belief held dear to the two Baum sisters. Well, that's not exactly true. It was a firm belief held dear to one Baum sister, Frankie Baum. As Joan, the just barely older of the two, was about to spend the summer months with their Aunt Dottie by the lake in rural Pennsylvania, Frankie would be left behind in their small apartment in Hagerstown, with nothing to do but add to her scab collection. And honestly, what good was collecting scabs if you didn't have anyone around to admire them? And speaking of being honest, Joan was not very. Not really and truly. Sure, Joan was unhappy about going away from her favorite sister for these many months, but just because the two would be separated didn't mean she was going to declare that it was going to be no summer at all. Heavens no. There was a lake at Aunt Dottie's, let us not forget. Besides, Joan would have her own room at Aunt Dottie's, in particular her own bed, and that excited her even more than the lake. But Joan, who was quite sensitive to others' feelings, and who could call up a fresh batch of tears just as easily as her favorite actress, Shirley Temple, made a point of adding some gloom to her appearance so as not to cause her beloved younger sister any further distress. There was enough distress in the world these days, anyway. Trouble was brewing overseas, a continent away. The kind of trouble that Frankie and Joan didn't really understand, but from Mother and Daddy's whisperings of war, of the Germans, and yes, of death, they felt something awful was coming, like a shadow that was going to one day, perhaps soon, reach across the ocean and block out the sun. Are you frightened? You should be. War is a terrible thing. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. The war has not yet begun, not officially. There are other troubles to speak of first, serious ones that lay heavy on the heart. And so, our story begins with a goodbye. June. Chapter 1. According to Frankie Marie Baum, being number 3 in the family was a lot like Mr. Wexler's fried pork and sauerkraut sandwiches. They both left an awful taste in her mouth. Oh, pardon the interruption, and right at the start of the story, too. You now must be wondering how Frankie Baum is number 3 when only 2 sisters have been mentioned thus far, Frankie and Joan. There was indeed another sister, the eldest one, Elizabeth. She was often called Princess by Mother and Daddy, and was practically without a fault, at least to their eyes, which may help you to understand why she was not mentioned before now. There, that's taken care of. Those were the 3 Baum girls, Elizabeth, Joan, and Frankie, in that order. Now back to the story.
Number 3s aren't so bad, Joan told Frankie.
The two were sitting together on the side porch of the Baum's first-floor apartment.
Prove it, said Frankie,
folding her arms across her chest.
Joan was a number 2, after all,
and there was a mighty big difference between a number 2 and a number 3. You might not have known it to look at them, but Frankie swore there was. Joan thought for a moment, while Frankie waited, poking her in the ribs every now and then, until she came up with some examples. 3, actually, to serve as proof.
Okay, I've got it, said Joan, pointing her finger up at the tiny piece of sky that was visible above the alleyway between their building and the one next door. Third time's the charm. Frankie shook her head. That's one of Mother's. She wasn't a believer in Mother's superstitions, and she had never seen herself as charmed. She fingered her skate key around her neck. What else? The Holy Trinity, said Joan matter-of-factly.
Frankie nodded. There was no debating that one.
And, said Joan, giving her sister a gentle nudge with her elbow, there's Judy Garland. She's the youngest of the three Gum sisters, you know, just like you.
Frankie knew what she was doing. Joan always tried to make her feel better, usually by bringing up Judy Garland, the singer and actress Frankie most admired. Much of the time it worked, but not today. Frankie didn't look at her. She just ran her fingernail along the chipped paint of the iron porch railing and watched the specks fall like black pepper to the concrete below. Joan tried again.
I'm only going to be gone until August, Frankie, just like Elizabeth was last time. And next year, it'll be your turn to spend the summer with Aunt Dottie.
Frankie shrugged. Always the last to do everything. For once, she wanted to have a go at being first. That's just not how the world works, was what Mother said, whenever Frankie asked why she couldn't do something before Elizabeth and Joan. Not fair, was what she said in return, which wasn't much of an answer. But who was she to change the world?
Anyway, Joan said, you'll be having so much fun right here that I'd bet you 10 cents you won't even miss me.
Frankie rolled her eyes and muttered,
I swear. Don't you let Mother hear you say swear while I'm away, Joan said, giving Frankie's arm a pinch.
Joan was 12, only 1 year, 3 months, and 5 days older than Frankie. But Frankie swore sometimes. She acted more and more like Elizabeth. That was a number two for you, always ready to take over the number one spot.
Frankie looked right at her. But you're leaving me alone with Mother and Daddy and boring old Elizabeth, who'd rather have her nose in a book than race me down to Wexler's 5 and dime on skates. What fun will there be?
Joan gazed up at the sky, way above the chimney tops, as if the answers of the summer, and maybe of the world, might be floating around somewhere up there. While she was looking, she couldn't help but let her mind drift to wide open spaces and Aunt Dottie's lake, and about how soon she might hoist herself upon a raft and float on it. Float and float and float away. She floated for quite a while, too, or her thoughts did anyway, right up there with the clouds. Joan was really good at thinking about what could be and forgetting about what was. Frankie was just the opposite.
Joni, Frankie said, knocking her own knee against her sister's.
What? It took Joan a few moments to realize she was still there, sitting under the roof of their side porch, lakeless. It took her a few moments more to realize she was smiling. The confused look on Frankie's face, followed by disappointment, gave it away. And it took her only a few moments after that to quickly pinch the skin on her calf just under the hem of her cotton dress, hard enough to make her eyes full. Shirley Temple certainly would have been proud.
Never mind.
Frankie wanted to tell Joan that she hated her for leaving. She wanted to, but she didn't. Joan's big green eyes, same as Grandma Engel's, cooled Frankie's fiery mood like a bed of grass under hot bare feet. So Frankie spit on her hand and stuck it out.
You're betting 10 cents that I won't miss you?
Joan eyed Frankie's hand. She nodded.
10 cents.
Then she spit on her own hand, and they shook. Frankie knew darn well that she would win it. Joan wouldn't pay it, and Frankie wouldn't take it even if she did. Joan grinned and then wiped her hand.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?